Thank you, thank you, thank you. Numerology is my love, it's my passion, because it helped Philip get back to Philip. And all I mean by that, growing up, I had a speech impediment. And all the other kids could do something I couldn't do. And you heard him mention football. And that was my outlet. I put fear and anger into sports, had scholarships in all four, not because I was so great, but because fear and anger, my feelings. And for a long time, because I was shy, because I didn't want to be seen, and I didn't want to embarrass myself by attempting to speak, so many people thought I was stuck up and aloof. And especially guys, when they started talking to me, they would say, "You're a lot different than I thought you were." I said, "Oh, thank you. I've heard that before." And I just put that on the table because I spent 7 years trying to disprove numerology. And the reason I put that kind of energy into it, when I was introduced to it, all we had done was give our name and birth date to this teacher. And she drove up from Chesterfield, Indiana to Northbrook, and she looked just like the psychic in Poltergeist. And she was about 45 minutes late, and we're sitting around, "Boy, I sure hope she makes it, sure hope she makes it, boy, God." Doorbell rings, she steps into the foyer. Didn't say, "I'm sorry, a lot of traffic, had an accident," or whatever. First thing out of her mouth, "Who's Philip Clark?" Oh. I raised my hand. "May I use your profile as a teaching tool? It's very graphic." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I had just gone through some of my crap after a divorce and doctor putting me on hypertension medication for the rest of my life. And so I wonder what she's going to say. I wonder what she's going to say. All day long, she asked me, "Philip, what happened at age 6? What happened at age 13? What happened at age 17? And I, "Oh, my, how'd she know that?" Because those were major, major areas in my life. And I knew nothing about numerology, and I didn't know anything about what was called the progressed table. And I couldn't get out of there fast enough. She was tiny. I went up to her. "You're psychic, aren't you?" "Yes, but I read your profile." I went over to our teacher. "Why'd you have to tell her all about me?" She said, "I didn't, Phil." Ran out to my car, drove to two libraries. First one's closed. By the time I got to the second one, I could feel my throat beginning to kind of shut off. And, "Do you have any books on numerology? "Well, sir, never heard of that, but you might look over here." Found two books that day, and that set me off on my journey. And I just put that on the table because it really helped me get back to me. And as I was going back, believe it or not, it really helped me understand religion. We grew up in the church back then, and it really helped me begin to understand a lot of the symbolism. We were given everything literal. And, "Oh, that's what that meant. That's what that meant. That's what that meant." So it not only helped me get back to me, but it helped me understand a lot of what we had been taught, but it was just on the surface. I put this on the table because tonight we're going to begin to explore numerology, and we're going to begin to explain the value of your name and your birth date and lay the foundation for the upcoming series that we're going to be going through. Saturday, it's going to be a 3-hour series, and then we're going to do 4 individual sessions, and we're going to tailor make their profiles for them. So they really, really know how it applies to them and how they can benefit from it. But I want to start tonight. Now, I know you all have heard of the 12-12-12 and the 12-20-12, and The first thing is to understand that by not putting the 20 in the year, they didn't do it justice. Now, they were trying to simplify it, 12, 12, 12, 12, 21, 12, but they didn't do it justice. And the reason they didn't do it justice is because in order to get the full vibration, the full understanding of that energy, you need all the numbers. And when you put all the numbers in there, it's an amazing thing unfolds because you see it comes to the same double digit, the 11. And last year I was, you know, I was asking, you know, I get telephone calls from newspapers and TV, radio. Mr. Clark, you're a numerologist. Could you tell me about this, this, this? And I got a lot on 11, 11, 11 last year. And with this coming up in 11, I remembered the information that I got by meditating on 11, 11, 11. And as you'll see tonight, I like to bring a little humor into this. And this is how it was presented to me in my meditation. What would you do if you were in a dark room and you wanted to see? Anyone? Turn on the light. And this is the way they presented it to me. When you turn on the light, you would see that across from you is a replica of your hopes, your dreams, and your desires. And then they kind of brought a little humor into it. Who are you?
I am you.
Oh, you can't be. You're everything I've always wanted.
Yes, and I have been here all the time.
Why didn't I know that?
Because you have been looking outside.
Oh.
And I have been inside.
Oh, that's what's meant by it's an inside job.
You are correct.
Now, that's how it was presented to me. But this is really what this is all about. The 11 is self-illumination. Self-illumination. And double digits of the same digit are called master numbers. It doesn't make you or me better than anybody else, but it does bring in more energy. And by understanding that, we can benefit from that extra energy. So the 11 is all about self-illumination. And it literally is about knowing, understanding that we have everything we need in here. But it's an inside job. And we all know we're working hard, we're busting our butts, we're doing everything that we can. But in the process of doing that, we continue to bring the rest of this with us. Does that make any sense? And what this date was, it was all about understanding our evolution. And have you heard that we're moving into the fifth dimension? Have you heard that now we're there? And have you heard what the effects are? Okay. Now, they say that this was the entry. They say that because there's nine basic numbers and there's exactly 9 days in between, this was going through all of the vibrations and now coming out. And here we are. It wasn't the end of the world. It wasn't everything going to hell in a handbasket. It was all about turning the light on. And now we're being asked to ground this. Man, woman, know thyself. And the whole concept of 2012, when you look at the year, it reduces to a 5. When I was first starting and I tried to disprove a lot of this, I learned that 5 is the freedom number. It's in the middle of the 9 basic numbers, so it's called the freedom number because you can look back at the previous 4, make adjustments. and then apply it as you go forward. So it's the freedom number, it's the change number through the ability to make a choice. Through the ability to make a choice. And when I was trying to disprove all of this, I said, oh, USA reduced to a 5. America reduced to a 5.
July the 4th, 1776.
Reduced to a 5. I said, oh, maybe that's why they call this the land of the free. That's a ha-ha. And it really, it's amazing when you begin to look at the symbolism of all of these things. And the 9 days in between the dates literally took us through all of the physical experiences. Have you heard that we're here to understand what a spiritual being going through a physical experience is? Have you ever heard that? And this literally is that transition. And we're at an amazing place now, and all the lower vibrations are being brought to the surface. Not because it's the end of the world, not because everything's going to hell in a handbasket. All the lower vibrations are being brought to the surface for us to release. Since we came into the 2000s, it's all about getting back into balance. Getting back into balance, balancing the inner and the outer. So I just wanted to put that on the table to start with. And as I move forward here, we're going to open it up to questions, but I will repeat the question so that it gets communicated properly. And I do that because I really want to ground this. And I'm accustomed to using words that you may not be accustomed to. So if I don't explain something properly or correctly, or you have any questions, just raise your hand, ask the question. I will repeat it and then delve more into it. Now, the name and the birth date are the tools that we use in numerology. In India, they just focus on one number, your time of birth. Your time of birth. Now, again, my left brain, and this is what I mean when I say I had to get it, I had to understand it. If you take 24 hours and break it down into minutes, you get 1,440. There are 9 basic numbers. You divide 9 into the 1,440, it comes out evenly. That got my attention. Comes out evenly. 2 hours and 40 minutes. So each number is vibrating, starting at midnight. Each number is vibrating for 2 hours and 40 minutes. And in India, that's the only number they use. And they call it your directional number. Your directional number. And that literally is what they teach and what they focus on. And a lot of what we use today has come from the Pythagorean approach. The Pythagorean approach. And this is what really, really helped me when I was trying to debunk it, because I was good in math. And when I learned that Pythagoras, I said, the Pythagorean theorem, oh my God, had one of the highest rated mystery schools in Greece. Mystery schools. Nobody knew what went on behind those closed doors. But it was only for the wealthy and the elite. And he taught some very interesting things. Music, astronomy, and mathematics. And they say for the first 5 years, you could not talk. You could not talk. Because he wanted you to understand the power of the word. The power of the word. And as I was going through his whole process, I learned that he would regularly put them into a deep meditative state and actually lead them meditatively into the music of the spheres so that they could really begin to experience the universal energy. And so that kind of, helped me. And in Egypt, they had their form. The Chaldeans, they had their form. And the Hebrew, they had their form. And so there was many, many forms of how numerology was used, but a lot of the countries and the races had their own form. So it's not New Age, it's not just coming up, it's been around all the way back to the beginning. The naming ceremony was the most important ceremony. And the naming ceremony was carried out by the priest, the shaman, the medicine man, the one who knew the incoming soul and what the soul's purpose was. And they would align the energy of the name with that purpose. They would align the energy of the name with that purpose. And this is really what numerology is about. We think mom and dad just picked that name out of the air. Mom and dad, I've learned, whether we agree or like it or not, mom and dad are our best way to come back into the physical, to learn what we need to learn, and also for them to learn what they need to learn. So it's a two-way learning process. And that whole process, when the sperm and the egg come together, this is when they say that descent begins. And there's a step down from the dimensions. And as it comes to the astral, the emotional, there's a holding pattern until that egg is totally fertilized. And so there's a lot more to this, and I don't want to dump all that on you, but there's a lot more to all of this. And that birth date, the moment we come out of the womb and we get the little, you all have heard of the aura, I know, and the energy. The moment we do that, our aura expands, our energy becomes activated, and that vibration is released. And because that vibration is released, here come the people, the situations, and the events to help us grow. So your name holds all your talents, your abilities, what you've learned in many, many lifetimes. I describe that as your toolkit. Your birth date is why you chose to come on this journey to help your soul grow. Now think about that. It's not just happenstance. It's not just a coincidence. It's all a part of this process of really experiencing life to the fullest so that, been there, done that. And this is why I can't point the finger at anybody, because literally been there, done that. All of us have, because that was the whole purpose of this journey. And that birth date and the name are the two main components in numerology. The name holds your talents, your abilities, your strengths, your weaknesses. And whether we like it or not, once we begin to understand that, we literally get back to being all we can be. So the first step that I take when I'm working with clients is we delineate that name. In other words, you begin to put the number values, and you have that, you know, that sheet there. We put the number value to those letters. And as you'll learn in the upcoming classes, the vowels mean one thing. The consonants mean another thing. The first name, the middle name, the last name, the first letter, the first vowel, the missing numbers. I mean, you literally are really, really fine-tuning who you are, your vibration. Now, have you heard that everything's made of energy? Have you heard that all energy vibrates? And I know you've experienced the aura. And one of the things that I do in my stress management classes is I have a dowsing rod. And it's made of copper. And the handle is hollow, so I show people that I don't control it. And it spins. And then I ask for a volunteer from the audience, helping the whole audience understand our energy, our aura, our vibration. And then I have them stand there, and I have them close their eyes. And I say, now I'm going to show the audience your energy field, your aura, and just close your eyes and just relax. And I point the dowsing rod at them, and it levels off. And then I look at the audience. Now, this is the edge of their energy field. And everybody starts. And then I say, okay, now, would you help me? And yes, I will. Okay. I said, now, think of a situation, recall a situation from your past that didn't quite make you feel good. As a matter of fact, it could have hurt you or knocked you down. Okay. Now, recall a situation where you were hell on wheels. Yeah, you were really, really great. You were supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Okay. And then I say, now open your eyes. Then I say, now, would you tell the person what happened? Well, yeah, when you weren't feeling good and remembering that, your aura pulled in. It contracted. And when you felt great, it expanded. And I said, now, the reason that is because you had a thought and you had a commensurate feeling and an image tied to that. I said, those are our creative raw materials. And the majority of us use them against ourselves, literally to scare ourselves to death. Well, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And boy, if that did happen, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And it really helped them begin to see that there's more to us than just this body and how we can work with that, with our thoughts, our feelings, and our imagination. And this is what is set in motion at birth. It's set in motion. And this is what helped my left brain understand that there was a higher purpose to this thing called life and that we had what was called a soul family. Majority of people focus on soulmate, and what I've learned is they are describing what's called the twin flame. We came into a polarized dimension, and there was no gender on the other side, so when we came into a polarized dimension, we separated. And this is what is meant by twin flame, and we'll get back together when we go through this journey and finish it. But we all have a soul family. And we've been with that soul family all of our lifetimes. And anyone in that soul family can be our soul mate. And they all play the roles that we need to experience in our life. And when I learned that, they added this coup de grace, even the villain. And that really, really began to, again, help Philip get out of the way. So your name holds all your talents, all your abilities. If there's any missing letters, or I should put it this way, any letters that cause missing numbers, if there's any missing numbers when you're delineating your name, those are called your karmic lessons. And all that means is the soul has not experienced that in other lifetimes. The soul has not experienced that in other lifetimes. And the reason that that is important is because it will be an area of weakness and difficulty for ourselves. An area of weakness or difficulty for ourselves. And those are called your karma lessons. There's another term called karmic debt. And karmic debt is the misuse of energy in other lifetimes. Now, all of that is housed in the delineation of that name. So you really, really begin to see who we are, what we've come in with, where our strengths are, where our weaknesses are. And that is why the naming ceremony in ancient times was the most important. And in conjunction with that, when you break it down, the last name is why we choose mom and dad. Think about that. The last name holds the energy of why we choose mom and dad. The middle name holds all of our feelings, our emotions, and relates to the heart. Our first name is our talents, our abilities, our key to success. One of my associates, he's in Virginia, and he's written several books on numerology. His whole practice is working with women who've gone through a divorce and held on to the married name for the sake of the children. And I went to one of his workshops, and he was explaining that. And he put it this way. Anyone you've been intimate with, you've exchanged the energy at the cellular level. And that becomes your energy now. And he said, what I do is help people understand that the children are aware of why they're coming in, why they have chosen those parents, so you don't need to hold on to the name for their sake. But as long as you do, you've gotten rid of the body, the physical part, but you're holding on to the energy of the person and the karma of the family. And this lady was sitting in the first row, Oh my God! And he really, really made an impression. And that name is energy. And the last name being the energy of the husband and the karma of the lineage of the family, it's really, really important to understand that. And so that was his whole practice. So that name, the value of the name is really understanding what you brought in with you to assist you on this journey. Now, have you ever heard somebody, when you ask them who they are, they give you their name? Now think about that. The name is an identifier. It's not who you are. But a lot of us take that on. And we're spiritual beings going through a physical experience, but they say we've stepped our energy down from 12th century perception to 5. to come on this journey. And when my left brain was going through that, I said, we're not even at 50% capacity here, and we think we know it all. So this is what we literally have done. And again, they said in 1987, now do you remember the harmonic convergence? 1987, and we all got together, and I was with a group at one of the, I forget where it was located, but it was a big open field, and there was about 100 of us, and we were all in a big circle holding hands, went into a deep meditation, and when we started, it was a cloudy, overcast day. And as we went through the meditation and everybody started humming and then singing, we opened our eyes. Oh my God, the clouds had parted and the sun was shining through. And you could just feel the change in the overall energy. And the reason I bring up 1987, the harmonic convergence, they say that, and this is, again, this is Philip's left brain, okay? They say the resonance of the earth was 7.8 hertz per second in 1987. Now, do you know anything about brain states? That's the alpha brain state. So we literally were still in a trance. Still in a trance. Now, they say the resonance of the earth is 13.8, almost 14. Wake up, wake up. And this is, we are evolving and we're moving into the higher vibrations, and a lot of us unconsciously, unknowingly, but all of you understand this. And Greg Braden, in one of his books, The Divine Matrix, gives the formula. And I love these kinds of things because I can get out of the way. He gives the formula for the number of people that it takes to change the consciousness of a population. Have you heard that? Square root of 1%. And it reminded me of the 100th monkey concept and a lot of the square root of 1%. And he ends the chapter by saying, you do make a difference. You do make a difference. And this is where we are now, and this is why we're being asked to get back to managing self. And when we do that, everything else falls into place. Now, that birth date, and we'll really, really delineate that on Saturday and over those four sessions, but the birth date, it's like going to school. It's like going to school. And when you add all those numbers together, I liken that to your major of life. Well, so many people, gosh, I wish I knew what this was all about. Gosh, I wish I knew what this is. It's all right there in that birth date. Because when you come out, bingo, that vibration is released. And now here come the people, the situations, and the events aligned with that. So I describe that as your major of life, your major. The month, the day, and the year would be similar to classes you're taking to learn your major. Now think about that. And those classes, the month, the day, and the year, vibrate over a specific number of years based upon what that total is. And I didn't understand any of this when I was first being presented with it. But your periods are those month, day, and year. It's tied to the Saturn return. And they say Saturn is the disciplinarian. And your challenges and your pinnacles, when you add and subtract, they're based upon the 360 degrees in a circle. So it's 36 years. So when you really begin to look at it, that's our game plan right there. That's our game plan. It's why we chose to be here. And it shows us the steps that we are being asked to take as we move through this thing called life. Now, in numerology, anytime you subtract, you find issues, or I call them your challenges. What's going to stop you? What's going to slow you down? So when you subtract the month and the day, you see what's going to interfere with you learning that. And this is what we get more into, but everything is all there. Have you heard you're never given more than what you can handle? When I first heard that, I said, yeah, right, Charlie. But we're never given more than what we can handle because it's all in the name. Everything is there that we need. And when you understand your purpose, now we literally are told who we are, what we are, and how to fit in. And we're given all of our scripts. And is there anyone in here who learned ABCs? Learned arithmetic, adding, subtracting, multiplying? Think about that. And that determined how smart we were and how good we were. And it's, we can use those tools, but there's a deeper meaning to this thing called life. And as you begin to go inside and get back into balance, you really, really begin to see that you do have everything you need, and that as you begin to use these tools, things do fall into place. Now, there's a very, very key number in numerology that I really like. It's called your maturity number. And your maturity number is the sum of your birth date and your name. And it's like saying, I got it, all right, I did it. Now where we are. And all I mean by that, at a level of understanding, you can begin to use that energy, that number, to speed this whole process up. And again, this is why Philip is so excited about being able to move forward with these workshops, because the whole purpose of it is to have each one have their own personal profile, their own personal roadmap, total understanding of who they are, what they are. So they can go back out there and say, I'm ready, bring it on. And the various teams that I played with, they would have one of the coaches who would really, really be the one to get us fired up. So that they called it the pregame pep talk. And this literally is what I'm hoping to do over this series. Get you fired up. Get you excited. Bring you to the place of, alrighty, I'm ready. I have everything I need. I understand it. And I'm ready to utilize it. Now, this is a lot to dump on someone in the very beginning, but as I go through this, if you have any questions, first of all, is there anyone here who has a calculator? Okay. Now, as you probably can tell, Philip has a kind of crazy sense of humor, but I like really adding a little humor to this also, and there's a lot you can do with numbers. And I didn't make these things up. I didn't make them up, but when I learned about them, you better believe I incorporated them into a lot of what I do, like today. Now, here's one. It's called The Magic of Numbers. You ready? Multiply your birth month by four. Multiply your birth month by four. Add 13 to this total. Multiply the above sum by 25. Subtract two. Okay, all right. Now subtract 200 from that total. Add the day of the month you were born to that total. Multiply that by 2. Subtract 40 from that total. Multiply that by 50. Add the last two digits of the year in which you were born. Now subtract 10,500 from that. Notice anything funny about your answer? Everyone. Isn't that interesting? Everyone gets their birth date. Now, how that happened? I don't know. But I mean, I just like those kinds of things. I like those kinds of things. And let's do one more, because I like humor. Let's do one more. Pick the number of times a week that you would like to have chocolate. Try for more than once, but less than 10. More than once, but less than 10. Multiply that number by 2, just to be bold. Add 5 for Sunday. Now multiply that by 50. If you already have had your birthday this year, add 1763. And if you haven't, add 1762. Now subtract the four-digit year that you were born. Do you have a three-digit number? Mm-hmm. Is the first digit the number of pieces of chocolate you would eat?
Yes.
And is the next two numbers your age?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, again, I don't know how they do that. But it's just that structure, that order, and how they can begin to put things together like that. Now, one of the first books that I learned from gave pictures of the numbers. And I want to just show you the picture so you can really begin to get a deeper essence of the number. Now, I'm going to start with number 1 and see if you can really get a good feel for what the energy of that number is. What can you tell me about number 1?
The hole.
Hmm?
The hole.
Okay, but what do you see there in that energy, in that picture, in that movement? Powerful, okay. What about leadership? Yeah, the ability to stand on your own 2 feet. Let's go, come on! Now, 1 is all of those qualities, independent. Being able to stand on one's own 2 feet. You've got those qualities there. But you see exactly what that vibration is all about in that picture. Now, the thing that helped me with numerology is understanding that every number vibrates over a spectrum. Now, this would be balanced use of that energy. Now, what would overbalance be? Think about that. What would overbalance be? Do it because I say do it. You see? It would really, really, you do it, you would be using that energy in an overbalanced manner. Now, what would underbalance be? Yeah. And this is what confuses people a lot with the numbers and the letters. And the majority of the books describe the balanced use of that energy, the balanced use. And they don't really help us understand that whole spectrum of the energy. And this is where the other numbers help us understand, and the position of the numbers help us understand that vibration. And this is what really, really helps us understand numerology and how to bring it out. Now look at the two. What do you see there?
Gentleness,
yeah. Acceptance, allowing, cooperation.
Receiving,
yeah. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you're trying to resolve something and someone is just nitpicking, nit, and nothing gets resolved? Now, that's an overbalance too. An underbalance too really would be at everybody's, you know, be the doormat. Would be the doormat. And this is my favorite number, because this was my challenge, but also my asset. And that's what blew me away when I was going through this. How can your asset be a challenge? And it was all about expression and communication. It's the three. And they give three to the actor and the actress. Why? Because it literally is using the imagination. We know what actors and actresses do. They rehearse, don't they? They've got a vivid imagination, and they bring that to life. So three is all about creative expression, communication. And a lot of people think that, you know, that just means the creative arts. No. It's about your ability to express yourself, speak your truth, really be able to say what you really, really need to say in a way that doesn't do you injustice nor anybody else. Now, this is the four. Discipline, structure, organization, setting the goal, breaking it down to simple steps and following through. And four gets bad press because of discipline. And when I get to eight gets bad press because of power. But he knows what he wants to carve out of there. And if he just chips, he's going to come up with whatever his goal is. If he rushes or tries to take a shortcut, he's going to screw it up. Now, the five, as I said, is in the middle of the nine basic numbers. Look at this. Do you see that freedom? Now, have you heard this phrase, the jack of all trades and the master of none? Have you heard that? Now, the five, once they really, really get back to themselves, It's the jack of all trades and the master of all of them. And this is what I've learned that's going on with these young kids now coming into our lives. They're coming in whole brain. And, you know, we have these different names for them, but they're coming in whole brain, and we're trying to force them just to use the left brain. And when they're doing this, we call it being inattentive, maybe labeling it a disease and drugging it. But these kids are very, very gifted. And by explaining that gift to them, they get back to themselves. They get back to themselves and they do stand out. So this is the freedom number. This is the jack of all trades. And instead of the master of none, the master of all of them, one at a time. So when we learn how to use whole brain, we're not taught how to use whole brain. We're taught to be logical, be practical, be real. But when you learn to use whole brain, bingo. And this is what I like to do. You collapse time. You bring whole brain to whatever we're accustomed to using left brain 10 to 15% for. And this is what I do with kids. If you have a battle or a competition between 10 to 15% and 100%, who do you think will win? 100%, Mr. Clark. I said, okay. And so when you learn how to use whole brain, and this is how I present it to them, whatever you start, make sure you finish. That's another way of saying focus. Whatever you start, make sure you, and this is what they're able to do. Now, this is what a lot of you, I would imagine, are about. This is the six. Now, I call six the cosmic parent. The cosmic parent. And again, with my silliness, this is how I portray that. Can you help me? Now, a lot of times, sixes have a hard time saying no. But the major part of this energy, just like the nine, is when to say yes, but how to say no. Because when someone feels the energy of the six, their barriers must come down. They feel comfortable, and they're going to start talking and tell you all their stuff. And it is very, very important, if you have any of this energy, to really, really know that people cannot help but feel that. And when their barrier comes down, they can't help but talk. And they're going to tell you everything. Anybody experience that? Now, the two, the six, and the nine have those qualities. The two, the six, and the nine. The two, as you saw, was open, allowing, receiving, receptive. The six is the cosmic parent. And when we get to the nine, you'll see that. But this is also very, very interesting, the number seven. Now you see what this picture is doing. It's thinking. This is what sevens do. They spend their time in their head trying to figure everything out. Now, they are very intellectual, But this also is what's called the spiritual number. But the hurdle is sevens don't forget. And in order for the seven to really, really access its full potential here in the physical, have you heard of the forgiveness word? Very, very important. If there's any seven energy, and again, symbolically, look at the seven. It's facing the lower numbers, the 6, the 5. So symbolically, it's facing the past. And so that's its whole focus. Sevens don't forget, especially the things that haven't felt good. And what allows the 7 to really open up to its power is forgiveness. Forgiveness lets go of the past, heals the past. Energy can't be destroyed, it can be changed. So now you free that energy up for a higher purpose. Think about that. We free that energy up. And a lot of people say, I can forgive, but I can't forget. I say, well, forget it. Forgiving is forgetting. And you're not condoning anything. You're not letting anybody off the hook. You're not saying it didn't happen. You literally are saying, I respect myself too much to have to experience anything like that again. Have you heard that thought sets energy in motion? I've asked that. Now think about this. Every time I remember, thought attracts the feelings, especially when it's very strong. And then here comes the imagery, the picture. So to my best friend, Subby, I call the subconscious Subby, to my best friend Subby, I've made it a now event again. Have you heard that the subconscious doesn't know the difference between a real event or an imagined event? Duh! So by bringing that much feeling and imagery into it, I impress the subconscious. And it's just like saying, please bring me more. This is the power of feelings and imagery. And this is why when we can bring that inside and focus on what we do want, now we get the subconscious and our cellular makeup all on the same page, going in the direction that we do desire as opposed to what we don't want. So this really, its main energy is letting go of the past, and then benefiting from that power, going direct. Sevens also are the idea people. When they get open and they get back into balance, they cannot help but be on the cutting edge. And they say things like, hey, how'd you come up with that? Oh, it just popped into my head. And that's really, really how easy it is. Now this one, any doubt about who's in charge? This is number 8. 8 is the power number. But that gets bad press also. Have you heard that power corrupts? Yeah. Now, the reason is what we experience the majority of the times is called outer power. Outer power. Outer power is control and manipulation. It's making you do what I want you to do. Now we're learning about inner power. And we're learning that as we get back into balance, now we get back to whole power. And that's literally why we've come on this journey, to take our power back. And when you look at the number 8, the circle holds all possibilities. So this literally symbolized as above, so below. As above, so below. And when you turn the 8 on its side, you get the infinity symbol. So I don't have to do anything to you. What goes around comes around. And we all have heard of the Akashic Records. Everything is vibration. Everything is recorded. Now, what we are here to do is bring heaven down to earth. Be all we can be here. And this literally is what's meant by taking our power back. And here we are. Now, it is symbolized by the king or the queen. Think about that. So as we get back to ourselves and as we begin to master this, we take our power back. And as we take our power back, then we realize that there's nothing selfish about it. Now I can share it. Mine is the humanitarian through understanding and wisdom. Look at that. So as we all become more, we can share more. We can share more. And understanding and wisdom really allows me to have full understanding of all of my energy, how to use that energy, know when to say yes, how to say no, all that stuff. So symbolically, the six represented our entry into this third dimension, going through round and round of incarnation. The nine says, okay, I got it. And now going to higher levels. And this literally is where we are now. We're being asked to understand why we came on this journey and to begin to get back to self-illumination. And one of the things as a numerologist I got a lot, especially in the beginning, and this is why I was so glad that I set out to debunk numerology, because it kept taking me further back, further back, further back. I was invited to an open house by one of my clients in Northbrook. The address was 666 Dundee Road. Now think about that. 666. I said, oh my goodness. I said, I know I'm going to get this. And as soon as I walked in, here's a numerologist. Here he is. Tell me about 666. I mean, that was the main focus. And what really, really helped me with all of that is I said, you know what? Yeah, I had that question too. Because I grew up in the church, but I learned that 666 is the carbon molecule. What? I said, yeah, the carbon molecule, 6 protons, 6 neutrons, 6 electrons. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I said, we're carbon-based. And that scripture didn't say the number of a man, it said the number of man. Oh, okay. And I love it when people say, you make sense. I say, oh, thank you. That's my intention. But that was, it's symbolism. It was symbolism. And the very next verse said the number of man, not the number of a man. And the verse following that said, here is understanding, here is wisdom. And when you add 666 together, you get 18, 1 plus 8 is 9, the humanitarian through understanding and wisdom. And so there's a lot more to all of this than what meets the eye. Now these double digits are called master numbers. Now there's that 11, and there's the light being turned on, and that 2 now has become the balancer. That 2 can now see both sides. And I kind of liken that to Henry Kissinger. And he served with several presidents, and they would send him all over the world reconciling issues, bringing both sides together. And when women have the 11, I say Henriettas. And so that 11 is really allowing the energy to get back into balance. Back into balance. And when you get back into balance, now, you really, really understand what this is all about. The inner and the outer now radiating out. Now, the 22 is the higher vibration of the 4. Now, you saw that 4 with that block and chipping away. The 22, it's monuments. So if there's a 22, it's a much, much higher vibration. And 22s are the idea people, just like the 7. And the 22s are on the cutting edge, no matter what field they're in. And they're able to create balance and bring form to that balance. And it really, really helps us. Now, there's another thing that we're going to be going through. There are 90 binary units. And all I mean by that, each number has 10 different ways of expressing itself. This is why so many people say, well, I'm a 2 and she's a 2 and we're entirely different. That 2 could be a 2, or it can be an 11, or it can be a 20, or it can be a 29, or it can be a 30. You see what I mean? And for each number, there's 10 binaries, 10 ways of it being expressed. And that is one of the big hurdles with people understanding numerology. But the 22 is the master builder, the master builder. Now here, you see the 33 and the 44. The 33 is the master teacher. It's a higher vibration of the 6, and the 44 is the master power, the higher vibration of the 8. And now where we have evolved to, I have literally experienced with my clients 55, a 77. And so we're able to ground those energies now into the physical, and a lot more are coming in with these kids. And they're coming in to make a difference. They're coming in to really, really help us get all this put back together. Now, fire away. I know this is a lot, but if I didn't explain something well, ask some questions, and we're going to be going into more detail Saturday and over the next 4 sessions after that. But I really want to lay the foundation, really, really help you understand that we all have everything we need. And that name holds all of that. By design, the naming ceremony in ancient times was the most important. And the birth date is why we're here. Why we are here. And when you really, really get that and, okay, it's all about the growth of the soul. It's what our souls need to continue to move forward. And when I learned this, it blew me away. We all volunteered. And they said that we don't come back until we do our head like, think about that, until we do our head like this. They don't force us. We're part of the planning committee. I mean, I've had some amazing teachers. My guides and my teachers and my angels are very, very straightforward. And there's a couple of them that bring humor into it also. And one of the things that I asked, why do you call us warriors? And I'm meditating on it, and I'm really, really, why do you call us warriors? White mind would step their energy down from 12th century perception to 5 and pretend it's real. This is why we call it an illusion. It's not the whole picture. So there's a lot to all of this, and all of you already know this, or you wouldn't be sitting here. And I really, really thank you, and I want to open it up to questions, but I know you had something to say, sir.
No.
Oh.
We'll take a few questions, and I, to not have to repeat the question, I'll bring you the microphone if you have a question. So let's, I know there is one question online, which I will present in a moment, but you have a question.
Yeah, I corresponded the numbers to the letters in my name. Now, what do I do? Do I take all those single digits, add them together, my first, middle, and last name, and then...
See, there are...
I add that number to my birth date numbers.
Okay, now there are specific processes. And again, we'll get more into that in our other sessions, but the vowels have a meaning. the consonants have a meaning. And then the whole name has a meaning. And you begin to get those differentiations as you break it out. The number that I was talking about earlier, the maturity number, is when you add the name and the birth date together. So what that really says is, I know what my lesson is, I know what I brought with me to learn those lessons, and I have achieved it. That's why they call it the maturity number. I got it, I did it.
Would the gentleman be able to do that if he comes to the workshop on Saturday?
Sure. This is, and again, the whole purpose of it is to break all of this down so that, worst case scenario, you know who you are, you know what this is all about, and you're able to begin to put that together. Yes.
Excellent. One question that was online was, can you recommend a particular book that somebody wants to follow?
Well, a lot of the books that I learned from are no longer in print, okay? But Matthew Oliver Goodwin, this was the second series of books that I learned from. He was a former architect, and he was with a pretty large company, and he wondered why the lady who did the hiring was always perfect. And he said, oh my God, how do you do it? How do you do it? So he confronted her one day and asked her, and she says, oh, I use numerology. He says, what? She says, I use numerology. And so she introduced him to numerology, and that became his, I mean, this is the only book that delineates numerology into a way of really, really understanding. And that's why I have that process down there. When you look at that, that's what we're going to be going through, this, all the components. And there's about 20 more. And this is what allows you to really, really understand numerology, how to apply it, and how to get the benefit out of it. Yeah.
Good. Another question?
This system here is absolutely amazing, very beautiful. How on earth did they get this, put it together? How long have they been doing this? How do you establish a system like
that? Well, see, it goes all the way back to the beginning, the Chaldeans, the Phoenicians. I mean, every nationality had a form of naming. Every nationality knew that there was a timing to that thing called birth. And the ones that were in charge of the naming, they were the leaders. And they were tuned in to the higher levels. In Hebrew, we all know the Kabbalah. We all know I was like a little kid going through all of this. Because everyone had a process. And even the indigenous tribes are even more attuned than we are. And we've got all the technology and whatever. And I, through the NFL, I was able to go on a cruise, and they went to Chichen Itza, and it was the ruins. And they had the little step pyramids there. And I'm going up the pyramids, and I got size 13, so it was kind of... And you get up to the top, and they had perfectly aligned the openings for the sun and the moon. And it told them when to plant and when to harvest. And it was just amazing how all of this was... They understood nature. They understood how to relate to it. And that they were all together. So there's a lot more to all of it. They all had these concepts and precepts, yeah. And it goes all the way back. I mean, even the Bible that I learned from, there was a book of Numbers. And the symbolism, we didn't understand it. But Jacob's ladder had 33 rungs on it. There are 33 vertebrae in the spinal column. And as he was climbing that ladder, he literally was coming up to the enlightenment. So there's so much more to all of it. But you can't dump that on everybody.
So please, a hand of appreciation for the presentation this evening.
Thank you very much. Thank you.